The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this has happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We'll have a children's time. Good morning. Good to see y'all all here this morning. When someone gives us a present or does something nice for us, we tell them thank you, don't we? Sometimes we forget to thank God for all of the wonderful things he does for us. God sent us someone very special to help us. Can you tell me who that might be?
Jesus.
And what did Jesus do for us? And then what did he do after he died? He died on the cross and he rose again to save us from our sins. There are lots of other things we could thank God for. Could you think of anything that we might thank God for?
Your birthday.
Your birthday, yes. How about the sunshine? Trees. Flowers, maybe.
Flowers.
Yeah. The sky. Food, that's another good thing. How about being thankful that God made each one of us? Yes, and he made beautiful churches, didn't he? Are we all the same?
Yeah.
Are we different? How are we different?
We all have different things. We're not all in common.
We're not. You're a girl. You're a boy. You have blonde hair. You have dark brown hair. You've got brown eyes. Blue eyes? Green eyes? We're all different, aren't we? And don't you think that we should thank God that he made us just the way we are? He made you, you, and he made me, me. Now, if you were a butterfly, what could you be thankful for?
Your wings.
Because what would that help you do?
Fly.
Fly. And if you were a bird in a tree, what could you be thankful for? That you could sing, right? And build your nest for your babies. And if you were...
And lay eggs.
If you were a worm, what could you be thankful for?
Wiggling.
That you could wiggle and squirm.
Under the dirt.
Under the dirt. And if you were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, what could you be thankful for?
Fuzzy bear.
Fuzzy wuzzy hair. Now, what does that sound like? Does that sound like a song we all know?
Yes.
Yes. Well, how about we sing that song so that we can thank God for all the wonderful things he's done for us, okay? And we're going to ask the choir to come help us. So if we could get y'all to all stand up, and we're going to stand on this row and this row.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus took bread and blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he took bread and blessed it. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And he prayed the words that he had heard from his childhood, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. He blesses the bread, which means he blesses God the Father by giving him thanks and praise for the bread. He who is one with the Father, who knows that all goodness lies in the Father's hands, sits down at a table in the early evening light and blesses the bread, the gift of the God who sustains all life. Cleopas and his unnamed companion had been talking with Jesus on this long walk, telling the risen Lord of their faith in him. We had hoped, they said, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They had been followers, and so they told this stranger of the latest chapter in salvation history, the mighty acts of the Incarnate One, the events of Holy Week that led to the crucifixion, the holy hope for Israel's Savior that lay like kindling ready to ignite in their hearts. Then they told him of the women who bore witness to the empty tomb, the women who trusted the word of the angels who said, "He is alive." Jesus loves these followers. He loves them, these companions on the journey. And so he who is the word preaches the word to them. He begins with Moses and the prophets, because if you can't see him here, you won't even see him if he is right in front of your face. He had said the same thing earlier in his ministry in the story about the rich man who stepped over poor, dirty Lazarus at the gate each day. If you don't believe the words of Moses and the prophets, why would you believe if one were to rise from the dead? And so Jesus begins his teaching with Moses and the prophets. For his life is present in their words, present in a holy hope, a trust that God would be the one to redeem all Israel. "Didn't you hear that the Redeemer would suffer?" he asks of them. And inside that question are a host of other questions. Do you simply not believe that God would sacrifice himself so that we rebellious ones would act in love toward each other? Can you not imagine that we stubborn and unmanageable people would see our so-called enemies as worthy of God's love? That we human beings who are unruly and defiant, who want our own way all day, every day, and who boast when we get what we want, that God would love us more than our own self-righteousness? God would even love us more than our own anger at others? And that he would suffer so that we could know the mercy that is greater than all of our human strivings? Cleopas and his companion may have known the words of Moses and the prophets, just as they knew of the events that occurred in Jerusalem leading to the crucifixion. Like Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, they even knew enough to invite a stranger to share a meal. But they didn't know, they couldn't know, the living Christ until he took the bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King, sovereign, ruler of the universe. They couldn't know until they received the fullness of grace from the one who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, our Lord. They couldn't know until they received him in their own hands and through their own lips. What Jesus gave them is the design for how we will meet him long after he has ascended. This is a holy pattern, familiar conversation concerning all that God has done from the beginning of time, and thanksgiving to God who gives us all that we need today and in every day to come. At the heart of this holy design, this pattern for faith and life, is the resurrected one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He who lives and rules eternally wants us to know him and to receive his benefits through the faithful community that is gathered in his name. And just as Jesus opened the scriptures to Cleopas and his companion, he opens them to us. For risen from the dead, he is the one interpreting the scriptures, so that we may know that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is present in every page of his holy book. But he is also giving us a word that apart from the community who receives him sacramentally through baptism and Holy Communion, apart from the community who receives him through his promise that is tied to the gifts of the earth that he has made, water, bread, and wine, we will be as clueless as Cleopas and his companion as to his power and to his presence. In his praying, in his blessing God, we remember the words of institution, the words of consecration, the words that he spoke at his Last Supper in the upper room, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." We hear these words that tell what he did on that night, for he told us that this would be the way when on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. As he appears now to Cleopas and his unnamed companion, we learn that the sacrifice of his life was for our benefit, so that when we too receive the bread and wine in his name, we receive his resurrected life. As we now remember his words in the midst of thanking and blessing God for what he did on that night and for what he has done in every day and every night, we are entering into the pattern that he taught us, the pattern of giving thanks. For we are now praying in the spirit of his word, praying in the great design of his love. When we enter into a prayer of thanksgiving, blessing God, we are doing what he taught us to do as he gave thanks to his Father. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we pray, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. For no matter what has happened to us in this day or that day or this week or last week, whatever trials or temptations we have faced, whatever sorrows or losses we have wept, the call is still to give thanks to Him who has promised to be with us in it all. And by this holy meal, His holy meal, we receive His living presence again and again into our lives. In the risen Christ's appearance on the road to Emmaus, in His taking of bread and blessing it, He is giving the world a word of promise that everything we need will be found in Him. Absolutely everything we need is to be found in the merciful and all-encompassing love that He has for this world which He has made. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son. No matter how hard we humans try to hide from Him or pretend that we do not need Him, He who created us knows that every person He made was made to need Him, and that it is only through worshiping Him, only through trusting Him, only through praising Him, only through looking to Him, only through receiving His resurrected life in bread and wine that our eyes will be opened to see Him and to know His eternal and everlasting love. Our Lord God wishes to meet all of us on the road to Emmaus. Blessed are you whom He meets on this day. Amen.